Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So tomorrow is the feast of the baptism of our Lord. It is when the church pauses to consider and to celebrate this inauguration, if you will, of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many of you probably in church this past Sunday, those of you who are in Lutheran churches, many of you may have already heard a sermon on this because a lot of pastors transferred the celebration to Sunday. This pastor did not. So you get to hear another sermon on baptism. In the Lutheran church, and particularly in the Nicholson family, and particularly here at St. Matthew Lutheran Church, the birthday of the celebration, the baptism birthdays are important to us. We celebrate the baptismal birthdays of our students who are in our Christian education programs. And even among our own family, we oftentimes, quite frankly, look for it as an excuse or opportunity to have something sweet on the celebration of our baptism. You know, it might sound kind of strange for a lot of Christians, particularly those who are not familiar with the culture of Lutheran Christianity, but it might seem kind of strange at first to celebrate the baptism of our Lord or baptisms in general. I mean, lots of non-Christians, probably one of the number one, not the number one, but one of the number one questions is, why did Jesus need to be baptized if he had no sin to confess? He shouldn't need to repent. He doesn't need forgiveness. And yet there he is standing in the Jordan River with sinners receiving a baptism that the Bible specifically says later on in the book of Acts. You all remember that who were in the Acts class. John's baptism is a baptism of repentance. But listen carefully to what happens in the midst of all of this. And there's lots of things, and I'm trying real hard to just keep it focused. Before Jesus teaches a single sermon, before he heals anyone, before he goes to the cross, before he does anything that's impressive, God speaks. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And I wrestled with that, because I'm sure the Father saw the Son at the creation of the world. And the Bible specifically says in the Gospel of John, in the book of Hebrews, that it is through the Word, the second person of the Trinity, through which the first person of the Trinity, God the Father, created. He created through the Word. And yet at the same time, this is the incarnate Word. This is Jesus Christ. And this isn't, I think, a reward. It's not a that a boy. It's not a kudos that the Father is giving to Jesus. It's not a, man, you did such a great job, and I sure do love you for that. This is not God saying, Jesus, you earned it. This is not God saying, finally, somebody who's not messing up down there. No, this is God naming Jesus. Naming him? I thought he was already named. Just hang with me a little bit. He's naming Jesus publicly here, clearly, unmistakably, and his name is rooted in who the Father is. Jesus is loved before he acts. Jesus is beloved before he performs. Jesus is pleased. Jesus has pleased the Father even before he has proved anything. Because this really isn't that much about Jesus. Ooh, that sat weird, didn't it? At your baptism, God did the same exact thing. He did not wait to see how obedient you would be. He did not wait to see how faithful you would be. He did not wait to see whether you would succeed or fail in the Christian life or in the temporal world. He did not see whether or not you were going to make your parents angry, not make your bed, not get ready when you're told to, or forget to brush your teeth. At your baptism, God placed his name on you. You belong to him. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the pastor said. For the pastor was doing nothing less and nothing more than repeating the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in that moment, God declared something true about you, that no grade, no opinion of any of your friends or peers, no reputation that you might be garnering among your clique or your group, no failure can undo what happened when God put his name on you. You are mine, God said. I have to remind myself of that all the time, brothers and sisters. That's why in the Lutheran Church we make the sign of the cross. Unlike many other church bodies who do it as a blessing to themselves, we don't do it as a blessing. We do it to remember we're baptized. Because when we were baptized, the first thing the pastor did is he made the sign of the cross over you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I do that. Sometimes I'm by myself, and I just do that as a tangible way to remind myself I belong to God. Now, this matters, especially here at Christ Community Lutheran School, because schools, especially good schools, are full of measuring. Some of you got your report cards. Grades have an impact on how we view ourselves, rankings in our class. Even my own children say, "Daddy, who do you love more, me or my brothers and sister?" Or change it, sisters and brothers. Athletics, for those of you who are athletes. Behavior, those of you who have parents who are quite disciplined. You might be feeling judged based on your college plans. My goodness, I hope I get in this college because I don't know if I can handle it if I only get in this college. Forgetting the very fact that lots of folks never have the opportunity to go to any college. And for you who are high schoolers, or upper school as we like to say, it can feel like you're always being looked at, always being evaluated, always being defined. And it doesn't help matters when among your friends and your cohorts, you all begin to identify one another. Well, he's the smart one, or she's the smart one. Well, that's the athlete. Well, that's the troublemaker. Well, that's the quiet one who never talks. That's the one who always disappoints their parents. That's the one that always has to have everything together. That's the one who could never be here on time. And some of those labels may sound positive, but brothers and sisters, they're fragile. Because there's moments in our life when we fail. When someone misunderstands you. Or you disappoint someone. And when that happens, the identity that we adopted from what other people say about us begins to crack. And if we're not careful, our whole identity begins to crack. But here's the truth. You're baptized. And the baptism of our Lord teaches us that you're not defined by how others see you. You're not defined by your teachers, your friends, your parents, your colleges, social media especially. You're not even defined by how your pastor sees you. You are defined as how God sees you. And how does God see you? The great exchange, brothers and sisters. You hear it every week in a Lutheran church especially. We are defined in Christ. All of my sins have been placed on his flesh, and all of his righteousness has been given to me. When the Father sees me, he sees not me, but he sees the righteousness of his beloved Son, in whom he is well pleased. Now let's be clear. Because this is a Lutheran chapel, God does not look at you and say, "I am pleased with you because you are doing such a good job." He looks at you and says, "You are my beloved child." Why? Because you're baptized into Christ. This is for us justification. This is God's verdict. This is what we understand God's word to say. This is God's declaration, not our decision. This is God's forgiveness that comes even before we are even able to understand or act. Before you clean yourself up, before you fix what's broken, before you even understand anything. Because we believe that salvation is by grace through faith. And then, and only then, does sanctification follow. When people say to me that I've got to get myself squared away before I can get to church, they've got the cart before the horse. Sanctification does not mean God slowly starts liking you more and more. Sanctification means God is at work shaping you into who you already are, Christ Jesus. You're not becoming God's child someday. You are God's child today. You are not earning his pleasure over time. You're already his. And because you're his, the Holy Spirit is at work, sometimes quietly, sometimes painfully, teaching you repentance, love, faith, discipline, humility, endurance. And this means you will struggle. This means that you will sometimes fail. This does mean that sometimes you'll disappoint your mother or your father or your pastor or your friends or yourself. But none of that rewrites what God said at your baptism. You are my, say it with me, beloved child. You are my beloved child. And notice one more thing, and then I'll be done. Right after Jesus is baptized, right after the voice speaks, Jesus is sent into the wilderness. The voice does not prevent suffering, but it prepares you for it. In the same way, your baptism does not promise an easy life. It promises that your life is held, even when it is hard, in the hands of God. When you are tempted to believe you are only as good as your last test, or your last season, or your last mistake, return to your baptism. When you're tempted to believe that God is disappointed in you, and that happens to me all the time, you're baptized. Return to your baptism. When you're tempted to define yourself the way others define you, return to your baptism. Because there, at your baptism, God has already spoken. And his word is stronger than every other word spoken over you. Dear children of God, young and old, before you do anything, before you succeed, before you fail, before you prove, before you disappoint, know that God's already named you beloved. Forgiven. His. Period. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.